The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Thursday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. It's all proudly brought to you by DraftKings. It's here from Bar Canada at the D. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Midland, producer number nine. So much more than a producer. How you doing, man?
Doing well. How you doing?
Well, had a tennis match this morning where the lady we were backing, Varvara Gracheva, I know you're very familiar with her work.
Me and Varvara go way back.
Plus 140 dog. She's up 6-4 in the third set tiebreaker, and she yaks it. So, yeah, I'm thrilled. I'm very happy right now. Oh, very happy.
How'd your big match go yesterday?
Which was the
big
one
you played in?
Oh, with Fez?
Yeah.
Oh, what a talk about match points staved off. It was beautiful. These are the 2 or 3 months in Vegas where the weather is spectacular, so just great to be outside.
I hate the in the fall we get the nice decline though. In the spring, like I was talking with Randy, the great valet guy outside
that we
talk to every day.
Yeah.
When I showed up yesterday morning, it was 58 degrees. When I left, it was 82.
It was beautiful. Beautiful outside. It'll, you know, 2 months from now, we'll be in hell, but right now it's wonderful. Okay, we'll get into a whole bunch of stuff today. Crack will join us, not in studio, but he is on the East Coast. He's at the RBC Heritage. We were promised a shot in front of a lighthouse. We will get that today from Bill Krakenberger, unscripted. We will talk with him for a couple segments. Joe Sheehan on baseball. Bad day for the Guardians yesterday. Oh, boy. Braves come back from behind. Yankees come back dramatically from behind. And the Guardians got Tanner Houck, which we have to get into. Zach Cohen on his tennis and NBA thoughts. And Luke Swain. I saved the best for last. Luke Swain will join us. Many of you are familiar with Luke Swain as Vegas Refund on Twitter. If you go back, and we did, and look at his NFL draft performances and his NBA draft performances, we'll throw those in as well. It's nothing but plus money, and dramatically so, with the exception, just like us, of last year's NFL draft. Has it caused him to ratchet it back this year? I don't know if it has or not. We will get all of his thoughts on the upcoming NFL draft 1 week from tonight. How about that? So looking forward to talking to Luke about that. By the way, before we get to the NBA, did you hear about what the Commodores did? You hear about what the Commodes did? Yesterday was the last day to invite draftees into your spot, and instead of them, you know, just doing it individually, like we want to really spend time with Jaden Daniels, right? They invited four, so not Caleb Williams, not Bo Nix, right, but the other four guys: Drake May, Jaden Daniels, Michael Penix, and JJ McCarthy, all at the same time, to see how they would like interact with each other. Now, I'm hoping they already know who they're going to draft, but, like, what did that accomplish? So they were getting crushed by even Jaden Daniels, most notably Jaden Daniels' agent, liked a couple very critical tweets about this, including one from Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk, and then one that was a little more colorful, let's say.
Oh, man.
So there you go.
We just hit day one in the life of Gil Alexander where he brought up a comment or a like of a social media post as newsworthy. Oh, man.
Oh, well, no, but it's from his agent.
No, I know. It is a weird story because, I mean, this was, it was a day or two ago at this point. I've heard mixed reactions from former NFL people, like someone that, I heard someone say that this is not that abnormal.
Not for Adam Peters. He did the same thing in San Francisco.
Okay. And then I've heard from others kind of like, well, you don't do it this late in the process. Like, what's going on? Either you don't know, you have question marks of who you thought you were zeroing in on. And I kind of agree with that.
What would have to happen for you to think you know who you're going to draft, watch the interaction, and be like, oh, gosh, we cannot draft that guy? Like, what would have to happen? We just go crazy on the other three people?
They do the simple, like, film study stuff with them sometimes, right? Like, I mean, if you go 0-for on some of the tests and questions, it might be a little concerning. I don't know. But, like, the point I agree with is why now and not 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago?
I would agree with all points. Why now? Why ever? would be my other point.
Yeah. So add it to the list of pick numbers that I'm not sure about anymore.
I mean, Jaden Daniels, I hope, didn't like pour his beverage over the other three guys because I just don't want him to eliminate himself. Anyway, that was an interesting thing. We'll talk to Luke Swain, all NFL draft, a little later on. The NBA is, I mean, the only story here is injuries at this point. This is just unbelievable. So two nights ago, Zion, and we probably didn't make enough of this as much as we did talk about it, but really like at the height of that game, he jams it, 95-95 with 3:19 left. The Sixers call a timeout 6 seconds later, but Zion goes straight to the locker room because he pulled his hammy.
Mm-hmm.
And he is out for the elimination game tomorrow night between the Kings and the Pelicans, with the Kings 1.5-point favorites now at New Orleans. New Orleans without the great Zion Williamson, who scored 40 in that game before having to exit I'm already forgetting who they played, for God's sakes. The Pelicans.
Lakers.
The Lakers. Thank you, God. Good God. It's hard to remember the Lakers.
It's been a couple late nights of basketball.
So that's two nights ago. And then, you know, this on the heels, right, of Giannis having the calf strain actually 9 days ago, in their game against the Celtics, the Bucks game against the Celtics. Giannis has already been ruled out for at least game one of the Bucks 3-6 series with the Indiana Pacers. One of these series, one of three NBA postseason series now, playoff series, where the team that is favored in game one is not the actual series favorite. So the Pacers are favored in game one of that series by 1.5 points at Milwaukee, whereas Milwaukee is still a tick of a favorite in the series because we don't know how long Giannis is going to be out for. And then last night in the 7-8 game between the Sixers and the Miami Heat at Philly, Jimmy Butler's doing Jimmy Butler things, playoff Jimmy Butler, just stealing the ball, easy breakaway dunks. But Kelly Oubre and him sort of tangle up. No fault of Oubre. It's just one of these basketball plays that happens. And as we learn later, Butler gets an MCL injury. He's writhing on the court in pain. He decides to play through it. Plays the rest of the game. Looked really affected in the second half, though. Bottom line, the Sixers come back to win that game 105-104. A little bit of drama at the end, but not really. Sixers win at 105-104 in a game where Joel Embiid, who, remember, missed 8 weeks of the regular season with a left knee meniscus issue, I don't know if he tweaked it the second to last day of the regular season. Whatever happened, he had to miss, or they decided for precautionary measures that they were going to take him out of the last regular season game. So he sat there, and he shows up yesterday, and he's messing with his knee first in the pregame warm-ups. You're like, is that, you know, gamesmanship? What is that? Or is really something going on? And then, as you pointed out, Kelly, he also just looked tired playing in that game.
It was bizarre. I thought it was bizarre. I know Friday he left the game. He tweaked it, Sunday I thought it was really more precautionary because he had played, you know, 30-ish minutes or less since he returned, which you would expect. You're ramping a guy up, but he had been extremely effective in those games, and it was. I mean, you're talking 6 minutes, 7 minutes into that game last night. You're like, why does Joel Embiid look so tired? Like, he looks gassed. And then I don't know if you heard it, but Doris Burke even mentioned it on the broadcast that he got gassed with warm-ups.
Yeah.
He was out there in warm-ups for like 7 minutes and got gassed.
Embiid looks gashed.
I'm
like, what?
It was bizarre.
But here's the thing. He ended up 23-15-5, and he hit a huge three down the stretch. And he had a big rebound and a putback. I mean, he made huge plays in the end. In the end, now, the Sixers end up with the 7 seed. They will take on the New York Knicks. Again, another one of these series where the Sixers are 2.5-point dogs in game one, but are a tick of a series favorite. We thought -140. That was my guess. You said -130, I think.
Yep.
Me, you, and JVT. It ends up being shorter than that, -115 on the series price, maybe because of the question around Embiid that is worth those 15 cents, and I think that's true. I guess the point I'm getting to is, so we have a Kings-Pelicans elimination game coming up without Zion.
Yep.
We got a Bulls Heat game without Butler. Butler's going to be out weeks if the Heat continue. We already have the Giannis issue. Remember when I put out that fictional prop where I was like, Celtics 5.5 losses, Eastern Conference playoffs.
The over now.
And now And now it was Giannis. This was before Giannis's injury, before Butler's injury, and before Embiid has shown this strange, you know, sort of wobbly,
yeah,
literally, nature of being in these games. That 5.5 is what now? 4.5?
Oh, less. Probably less than that.
Well, I don't think you can make the line too much less. But it's definitely not 5.5 anymore.
Definitely not 5. I'd go 3.5 probably. That's probably where I'd go. Like, I mean, they could be cruising to the Eastern Conference Finals. This is, the Heat, it's a real shame. I mean, they were, for as much as I've gotten on this team over the past couple years, there are, I mean, add the Sixers to the list of, Celtics, Bucks, the Heat are living rent-free in their heads. I mean, as soon as that game tipped last night, and I can say whatever I want about Joel Embiid, he was definitely ineffective. Yeah. That was definitely part of the problem. But the Sixers just saw this zone like a week ago from Miami. They're prepping for this. And still, they come out there, and the Heat go into full zone mode, and the Sixers look like they've never seen it before
that
in their lives.
That zone was pretty cool. Someone described it as a blob yesterday. Yep. It was very interesting to watch that zone.
It really was.
Bottom line, Sixers -115 against the Knicks in the series. Do you like a Sixers bet?
No. I'm at Sixers futures. How can you do it right now? Yeah. I bet the Knicks in game one. As soon as game one price got released, I laid 2.5 with the New York Knicks. If Joel Embiid is going to look anything like he did last night, the Sixers are in major trouble. I don't feel like a lot of people are not making enough of this. I mean, he was very ineffective on offense outside of free throw shooting and the couple threes that he made. And defense, he couldn't close out. They kept him on the perimeter, and he kept allowing open, wide open threes.
We'll get Zach Cohen's thoughts on the elimination games tomorrow night, where injuries abound. Maybe some tennis. NBA with Zach Cohen next, right here on a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network. Start your morning with a daily dose of winning strategies, insider tips, and the latest buzz with a free VSiN daily newsletter. In today's newsletter, sir, we
made all kind of things about the play-in tournament, playoffs, and much more.
All right. Started out that sentence without hearing you, but we got there in the end. All right. Get expert analysis, the latest odds delivered straight to your inbox, absolutely free. Visit VSiN.com/newsletter to subscribe. Bills, late nights become your early mornings each and every morning with the VSiN newsletter. It's Gil Alexander. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Bobby Geddes, I brought this up to multiple people now. What would the trade have to be from the Celtics to get Wemby? This followed a tweet of his where he said, would the Spurs take the entire Celtics starting lineup for Wembanyama at this point? To which I said, probably not. Given his age, given the future.
I'm going to take the easy way out here and say the finances don't work, so you can't even entertain that conversation.
Terrible answer. Square Bob. I never bet total.
I'll add on to that, though. I almost texted you this at during the third quarter, but probably the third quarter of the Hawks-Bulls game, I'm like, can we just get Trae Young to the Spurs already? Like, accept your role as Scottie Pippen to Victor Wembanyama and roll your little pick-and-roll floater lob game with Wemby, and let's just get this done already.
By the way, we didn't even mention that game, or I didn't mention in the first segment, the Bulls are playing the Heat. If you're wondering, who's the Heat's opponent? The Bulls, because they won against the Hawks last night. The Bulls and the Hawks, you're watching that game last night, you're like, okay, neither of these teams deserves to be in the playoffs.
It's gross.
Like, what are we doing?
It's gross.
Someone play defense? Anybody? No? No one? Okay, great. Square Bob, I never bet totals, but Drew Dinsick screamed the Bulls over last night. Thank you. And in case you didn't hear, Drew, we need you to hold Gil captive for a sushi reveal next time he wants you for more than one segment. I'm buying.
Yeah, that was his favorite bet of these first games, but playing games and first round games. So, yeah, he was all over that one.
You could in-game over that all night last night. Mickey Baca, NBA is setting up perfectly for a Nuggets-Mavericks West Finals and a Sixers-Celtics East Finals. Let's get one of these four home. Brian Schaefer, sorry for the grammar yesterday. Phillies three straight ties with the Guardians. Three straight ties with the Guardians. Now they have a date with the White Sox for three. They will be there for the final week for most wins March and April. I don't know what he meant by the ties part. D-back 48, did they ask all the quarterbacks?
He's going to have to send a second apology tweet now.
Yeah. Let's go. A third time's going to be the charm, Brian. We'll get this. We'll update those Guardians, Yankees standings. Yankees, Orioles, Braves are now. It's Yankees, Braves, Guardians in that order right now. D-back 48, Did they ask? Did the Skins ask all the quarterbacks which mother they would sleep with out of the group? That's a Zach Wilson tribute, I believe that is.
Yeah, I believe so, yes.
Las Vegas 514, yo, what are we doing? Just pick Jaden Daniels already. It's not rocket science, or is it? Sheesh. That's a Redskins fan. And then Nemesis Enforcer, the Doris Burke was spot on. I meant the Commodore.
Well, that's pretty good.
Ladies and gentlemen, he is a he's one of the, I should say Wes Reynolds and he, but there's several guys, Adam Burke being that. But Zach Cohen is also part of the glue that holds this entire operation together here at VSiN. He is kind enough to join us now. You can follow him on Twitter at BettingOnX. VSiN writer and editor and just a guy who writes with volume, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, Zach?
I'm doing well. How about you guys?
We're doing well. What tennis bets are you sweating today?
I have two left today. I didn't know if they were going to play, but I have one in Munich. I have Bodek van de Zandschulp and Jan-Lennard Struff to go over 21.5 games, which is, you know, tough to say both names. I don't know how I got through it, but I think it's going to be a pretty close match. I'll just call him Bodek. He's a solid clay court player. He came off a really big win last round. Just a little bit better from the baseline than Struff is, but Struff has a really good serve. I don't see him losing this match without at least making a pretty big dent in the scoreboard. And his baseline game has been holding up pretty well over the last few weeks, has played some really good clay court matches against really good clay court players. So I think it's under over 21.5 is a pretty reasonable bet. It's a low number. And the second one I have is Marta Kostyuk, +4.5 games. Then I also sprinkled the money line at +210 against Qinwen Zhang, which is just a match where, you know, Zhang went to the final of the Australian Open, hasn't really looked the same since. And Kostyuk has been incredible in 2024. She's 16-6. Her break percentage is up over 40%. So if Zhang is not making her first serve, she's going to make her pay for it. And it's just a match where both players hit with so much power. It's going to be really fun to watch. Just, you know, a lot of haymakers in this match. But I do think Kostyuk keeps it close. And I do think that she potentially wins it because I think she's a better mover than Zhang and just a little bit more of a creative player from the baseline.
And Marta Kostyuk against Zhang Xinwen, Kelly, just a really a match that you should probably watch. Is all I will say.
Oh, okay. Well,
yeah. Just a real.
Where are we at?
Zach described
Stuttgart for that one?
Stuttgart.
Yeah,
Zach described it as a fun match to watch, and I would say it is fun to watch. Okay, NBA. Tomorrow night, we have elimination games. Sacramento, 1.5-point favorites against the Pelicans. That number, of course, informed by Zion's absence for the Pels. Then the Bulls and the Heat. The Heat, only 1.5-point favorites at home against the Bulls. That number largely informed by Jimmy Butler's absence. Butler, again, reportedly will be out weeks if the Heat are to advance here into the first round of the playoffs. Do you have a play on either of these games tomorrow?
I do have the Kings in that game against the Pelicans. I just think I don't want to pick against Kelly's Pelicans, but I do think it's going to be hard for New Orleans to, you know, find the offense that they need to win that game with Zion out. Willie Green no longer seems to trust Brandon Ingram. He's not playing big minutes, not playing the end of games. So I do think the only way that the Pelicans can really overcome that is if they just kind of get a lot of threes up. They play Trey Murphy, you know, 35 to 40 minutes, but they just haven't done it all season. So I don't trust them to play the rotation they need to just kind of keep up with a Kings team that we know could be explosive offensively. I think Sabonis is going to be a problem for Valanciunas in this game. I think that, you know, Valanciunas is another player that Green has been benching a lot. He doesn't want to play, you know, a slow-footed center. But whoever they put out there, if it's Valanciunas, Sabonis is a little too quick for him. And whoever else they put in, you know, Sabonis is a little too big. So I just think this is a really good matchup for the Kings. And I think the Kings Thunder could be pretty fun. And then in the other game, it's a tough one. I think I'm kind of leaning with the Heat right now. I know that Butler's out, but I think that Alex Caruso is also in danger of missing this game. I think that they said he has a significantly sprained ankle.
Jeez.
And if he does miss
another
it.
Another one. Yeah.
That's just, you know, you just talked about it. Like, neither of those teams are playing defense the other night. Well, Caruso's the only one that does play defense.
That's right.
On the Bulls, especially on the perimeter. So I think that I would trust Spo to come up with something that works.
Yeah, I'll tell you, even if it's playoff basketball and I'm running back on defense, Gil, I'm watching where Andre Drummond's running to because that's what happened last night where Drummond just went full speed into Caruso. And you're like, oh, my, that's like getting hit by a Mack truck coming down the lane. It was bad.
Well, it was the Bulls were up 18 in a blink. They were only up 6, and then before you knew it, they were back up more than 20 after that. Okay, Do you, by the way, do you ever play in either of the elimination games?
No, I would probably lean both ways that Zach just said, but man, the injuries make this gross.
It makes it gross. That's exactly right. All right, of the six first round series that have been established, half of them feature a team again that is favored in game one. Excuse me, that is a dog in game one, but actually a series favorite. So we're talking about Sixers Knicks, where the Sixers are a game one dog, but actually a tick of a favorite in the series. That also relates to the Suns and the Timberwolves, where the Suns are a dog in game one of the series, but actually a slight favorite in the series. And then in the case of the Pacers and the Bucks, again, largely informed by the Giannis injury, because we know he's out game one. Pacers are a slight 1.5-point favorite game one, but the Bucks a tick of a favorite in the series. So that's half of your established series already have that strange, anomalous thing happening already. Do you have a plan, any of those series-wise, or games one, if you will, or any of the other three series?
I have plays in most of the series. I don't have anything in game one yet. I'm still writing up series previews. I'm not done yet until we get the Kings-Pelicans results. So I'm still looking at the series mostly. I do have the Sixers to beat the Knicks. I'm not adding too much to it because I added the Sixers at 20-1. I wrote it up in our NBA playoffs primer that we put out on DraftKings.com. But I did pick the Sixers at 20-1 to win the Eastern Conference. Was hoping that they'd make it through that game last night. It was really ugly. But I do think it's a really tough matchup for the Knicks. It's nothing against the Knicks. They're missing a guy that makes $30 million a year. You know, their second best offensive player in Julius Randle. And I do think that you're going to be missing him in a series against the Sixers, where I think the Tyrese Maxey can kind of keep up with Jalen Brunson over the course of seven games. And I don't think that the Knicks have someone that can keep up with Embiid. I think that Tobias Harris, arguably the third, you know, the best number three in this series. So I think it could be ugly. I mean, it's going to be, you know, a series where all of the games are probably going to be close. But I do think Philadelphia is the better team as long as Embiid makes it through it. Although he looked horrible last night. I thought that he looked slow. He looked like he was in pain. And I just didn't think he should be out there. But he got through it. So, you know, maybe a few days of rest will help him.
Anything else in the first round?
I have the Nuggets -1.5 against the Lakers. It's about -140, so you have to lay a little bit of juice to take it. But I don't know. Like, I know the Lakers are a little bit better than they were last year, but they still got swept by the Nuggets this year. I still don't think that they have an answer for Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray in that two-man game. And I like that, you know, the Nuggets have Kentavious Caldwell-Pope to throw on D'Angelo Russell, who has been scorching hot for the Lakers lately. But Russell's not a guy that could really shake free from a really good defender like Caldwell-Pope. He needs to have open space. So I do think the Lakers are going to be in a little bit of trouble offensively in the series.
All right, I'm taking a survey. Celtics total number of losses in the Eastern Conference playoffs. The new line is 4.5. Over or under?
I'll go over because I do think that they can run into a little bit of trouble in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Okay, the number is 5.5. Over or under?
Under.
We're price discovering is what we're doing. Thank you, Zach. Appreciate it. Joe Sheehan on MLB next. For a limited time, we're offering 2 weeks of our exclusive betting splits for free. Just sign up at VSiN.com/splits.
Split bet.
The VSiN betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 5 minutes, so you can see changes in all the action, find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money does not match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well if you'd like. Take advantage, though. It is limited in its time that we will offer it. That's called a limited time offer. Visit VSiN.com/splits now to claim your free 2-week access to VSiN's betting splits. Don't strike out on potential winnings. Visit VSiN.com/splits and start making smarter bets today.
Gil, can I give you a quick update from the RBC Heritage, which is underway?
Yes, please.
So Alejandro Tosti, we were talking about a couple weeks ago.
Oh, yes, okay? We were.
Nick Kyrgios of the PGA Tour, watch out for him. He had the, I guess, unfortunate situation today to be the lone golfer to start the tournament because it's an odd number field. So he had to go out by himself this morning, okay? Uh-huh. Which for Alejandro Tosti, I believe, is the perfect thing he could have. He is your current leader at 4-under, okay? He's through 12 holes. The next group behind him is 5 holes back. He's just cruising through.
Wow.
He's just cruising.
As any of us who have played golf by ourselves find, we could get through. But him, a pro, can you imagine? Just like, that's awesome. By the way, I just want to read this one tweet. This is from Primetime, Cowboys_Cubs1. After a thorough numbers game investigation, he says, I've concluded that the recent rash of NBA injuries is due to the following factors. 1, the MLB pitch clock. 2, sportsbook's incessant television advertising. And 3, live golf, and specifically Greg Norman. It's
probably true.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. Real quick before we get to Joe, here is the update on our Guardians bet. For those who followed me on this, the Circa put out this great prop to begin the season. Most wins in March and April. The tiebreaker is, if you have the same number of wins, who has the fewer losses? And at 65-1, I thought the Guardians were a great bet. Yesterday was not the best, though. Yesterday, the Yankees came from behind dramatically to beat the Jays. The Braves came from behind dramatically to beat the Astros. Meanwhile, the Guardians got Tanner Houck'd. What a performance by the Red Sox. It's one of these even when you have the bet and you just have to tip your cap. You're like, that was amazing. Tanner Houck with a three-hitter in a game that lasted 1 hour and 49 minutes.
Caught that yesterday. Wow.
Unbelievable. We bring in Joe Sheehan from joesheehan.com, one of our great guests on baseball, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. And so, yeah, that was a hit for the Guardians bet. But let me just ask you about Tanner Houck for a second, Joe. And by the way, hello. How are you? Good to see you.
Good, good.
Tanner Houck, for those who are sitting at home and watched that yesterday, I watched every pitch. It was unbelievably dominant. Is there a Cy Young bet to be made on this kid?
No, because I just don't think he's going to be able to pile up the innings. You know, they've been trying to make Tanner Houck a starter for a few years now, and it's worked so far this year. Guys, I was surprised yesterday. I actually gave out the Guardians as one of my picks on my gaming newsletter, and he struggled against left-handers in his career. He gave up a 300 BA to them so far this year with a 7-0 strikeout walk ratio to lefties. But he was fantastic last night. Now, the game had a 20-1 strikeout to walk ratio, so I'm kind of waiting to see the ump scorecard. I'm a little curious as to what kind of a zone Roberto Ortiz had last night, but you have to give him credit for going the distance. You mentioned the game 149, which is something out of the 1970s. I just don't think he's going to be able to pile up the innings. And there's a few guys like this who are pitching well in both leagues right now, which is very hard to project to the 160, 170 innings that are really going to be the bare minimum for a Cy Young win.
Fastest game in 14 years, by the way, for those who like such things or are curious in such things. And he completed a Maddox in that 1 hour and 49-minute game. By the way, the last that's the shortest nine-inning game since that Armando Galarraga game where they basically Jim Joyce, poor guy, basically stole the perfect game from him for the Detroit Tigers so many years ago. But in honor of Greg Maddux, that refers to a shutout accomplished in fewer than 100 pitches. And so he threw a Maddux yesterday. It was just a remarkable performance, and the Guardians go down. And so now the Yankees with the one-win lead in that prop and really with the game in hand. So the Guardians got to get that win in Boston today. That's a big one for us in a short baseball slate.
Gil, that's the interesting thing about last night. So I was out. I actually didn't get to see the game. And I got home, and I just assumed that it was a getaway day for both teams. And it wasn't. They actually play a day game today in Boston.
Yeah.
It was very much a getaway day approach on a day that it wasn't a getaway day. So I was surprised to see that.
What is the biggest thing here? We're not even a quarter of the way. We're an eighth of the way. We're basically an eighth of the way through the baseball season. What's the biggest headline for you thus far, either about a team overperforming or underperforming, or about a specific player?
Tanner Houck is the only healthy pitcher in baseball.
Yeah.
That's got to be the big story.
Yeah.
This year, guys, all of the starters we've lost, you know, we're waiting to see if Gerrit Cole comes back. We've obviously lost Strider for the season. You know, guys that were at the top of the Cy Young picks charts to start the year are now either not going to pitch or certainly not going to pitch enough to win the awards. I think trying to figure out, you know, John Sterling actually retired because of the max effort pitching. You talk about all the things that are being affected by this. It's really something that we can't keep pitchers healthy. And that's been the story over the last couple of weeks or so. The other thing I'm looking at is the offensive levels. That was a big story last year. You know, they banned the shift. We had a real spring training for the first time in a few years. And offensive levels jumped back to, you know, where we thought they would be. Well, this year to start the year, power is gone again. Batting average on balls in play has slipped back to where it was a couple of years ago. It hasn't really shown up in the run scoring as much. Run scoring is down about 3%, but slugging's down, you know, 30 points year over year. Batting, as I mentioned, BABIP is down 8 points year over year. You look, you know, the fly ball rate's about the same. The pull rate's about the same. Baseball, MLB publishes the drag signatures of the baseball, you know, how well the ball flies. They all seem to be about the same, too. So I'm really watching to see, you know, where the run environment goes, which obviously affects a lot of things with betting. So far this year, looks like over-under, basically 50-50. So it hasn't really affected the numbers in that yet, but I want to know where the offensive levels are to kind of do all my analysis.
Yeah, and again, it's one of those things where we've seen run environments change dramatically even mid-season. So it's not like Major League Baseball can't magically, even though they wouldn't say this out loud maybe, but magically a new batch of baseballs will appear at some point, right?
2015 was a big – that was the first time this really happened. The first half of 2015 looked like the 2013-14 run environment. And then after the All-Star break, we got to jump to the offensive levels that really sustained for the rest of the decade. And it's bounced around a lot here in the 2020s. You know, Meredith Wills does a lot of research there. She's done a great, she does a great piece of the Business Insider last year, looking at, you know, the way the patterns of the baseballs changed throughout the year. So this is something that we can't be comfortable. As you say, if it's one thing in April and May, we could get a new batch of baseball. So something that you're kind of always, I'm always looking at that drag signature page. And I'm always looking at things like, you know, output on barrels or output on fly balls to get a sense of where offensive levels are going. It is important to note, it is early April. Weather is always going to be a factor, particularly here in the Northeast. Baseballs aren't going to fly, but there are just a lot of nights, 8:30 here on the East Coast, and I'm looking at a scoreboard that's 2-1, 2-1, 1-0, 3-1, 4-1. A lot of teams not even getting to three runs a lot of times.
Yeah. By the way, deep dive on baseball for all the baseball hardos out there, the Joe Sheehan newsletter again, and you can follow Joe on Twitter at @Joe_Sheehan. Is anything going to be done about the umpires and these balls and strikes and it just being a scourge on the game, Joe?
You know, it's frustrating because we've been talking about this for a long time now, and the technology is in place to have the technology call the balls and strikes. Now, there are people who will tell you, oh, you know, they miss things on the corners. There's been a lot of the walk rate was very high in AAA last year after they went to the system with the challenge system, I should even say, not even the full system. My argument is that when you actually look at the calls the human umpires make, they're just as bad as the bad calls that get made by the system. I would much rather see a system in place than see, you know, we focus on Angel Hernandez, who's obviously had a really bad start to the season. But all umpires are making these calls 2 inches off the outside part of the plate, pitches that just aren't designed to be hit. If you go back to the origins of the strike zone, you know, Kelly will remember the 1880s.
Sure.
When we first had to start calling balls and strikes. The idea was, we have to do this so that pitchers will throw hittable pitches and batters will put them in play. We need to get back to that. The best way to get more balls in play is to make sure the strike zone is called properly so that batters aren't being asked to hit 98-mile-an-hour fastballs 2 inches off the plate or big sweeping sliders 4 inches off the plate. The pitchers are so good right now, we've got to tighten up the strike zone, and the only way to do that is with an automated system.
If I've said it once, I've said it a million times, Joe, on this show. 1880s baseball. That right there was the greatest.
The golden age.
All right, 60 seconds. I want to get your thought on this, because obviously we talk about the incongruence between 162 games, and then you go in this best of three, best of five situation in the playoffs. So if you get in the postseason, anything can happen. Give me a team that's not one of the obvious ones, not your Dodgers, Yankees, or Braves, that you think a bettor who just wants to have one futures bet ought to make.
Particularly because they're off to a slow start this year. I look at the Twins. Their underlying performance is better than their record. You get them into a short series when they get healthy. You've got Ryan and Lopez up front. Bailey Ober had that terrible start, but he's a good pitcher. And at the back of that bullpen, Joan Duran, when he gets healthy, Griffin Jacks, they're going to be tough in a short series. Now, you know, they finally won a playoff series last year. They got eliminated by the Astros. But get them into the playoffs, and they can be dangerous.
All right. Joe Sheehan, everybody. Joe Sheehan newsletter, joesheehan.com, @Joe_Sheehan on Twitter. Did I miss anything, Joe? Anywhere else they can find you?
One thing, free Sheehan newsletter at Gmail. If you just want to check out the newsletter, free Sheehan newsletter at Gmail. I'll add you to the free list. You get one piece a week. You can see what I do.
Free Sheehan newsletter at gmail.com. Thank you, Joe.
Yep.
Great seeing you, man. Thank you so much.
Thanks, fellas. Take care.
Joe Sheehan, everybody, on the show. We have gone 40 minutes without talking about the NFL draft. That is not allowed.
Not allowed.
We will talk about it after the break. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boost, and so much more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code VSIN. That's VSIN. New customers bet $5, get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code VSIN, only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. Gil Alexander, we get tweets at Beat the Book. Chris Heath, never knew the precise definition of limited-time offer. Thanks, Gil. That's why I'm here, Chris. Jimmy Lopez. What's faster, an Angelo Toasty solo round or Gil running to bet Wemby Defensive Player of the Year next year? Oh, I'm betting Wemby MVP next year. Defensive player of the year, what's he going to open? Minus 10 bajillion? And all these people are like, well, he plays for a sucky team, are going to simply forget about that next year.
I mean, he's got to be the favorite.
Jesse Welch.
MVP, I'll be betting. I'll be betting it.
Of course.
I'm not saying it's the smartest bet in the world, but you tell me at the end of next year, if Victor Wembanyama gets to heights that we all believe he's going to reach one day, you're not going to hate yourself for not having an MVP ticket?
Jesse Welch, speaking of that Galarraga blown perfect game, why on earth hasn't Major League Baseball come out and officially corrected it to a perfect game? That's so due at this point. Update on our man. He's now only three holes ahead of the rest of the field. By the way, we're not talking about the leaderboard. We're talking about physically. He is playing golf solo.
Who do we got? Austin Eckroat and Eric Barnes are in the next group. They have closed the gap. I think on my pass reporting too, I got the perfect. Like he must have just finished a hole, and the guys were still, on the green on the last one or whatever. So they've closed the gap three holes behind.
Yeah, we're referring to Alejandro Tosti. Who, because of the odd number of players at the RBC Heritage down at the Harbor Town Golf Links in South Carolina, played solo to begin with. And so he is just absolutely warp speed through the course.
Yeah, it was 4-under through six holes. He's calmed down part of the last three. So let's okay. Go see Woo Kim. Got first-round leader on him. He's 2-under through three.
All right. And Bill Krakenberger will join us from the RBC in front of the Lighthouse a little later on, as will Vegas Refund. You know him that way on Twitter, Luke Swain, to talk NFL draft with us. He has had plus money in every NFL and NBA draft since we've known him three, 4 years ago, with the exception, like so many of us, of last year's NFL draft. And I am curious, Kelly, if it has caused him. What do you think is the biggest cause of this? And I don't know his answer.
Yeah.
Is it because of the loss that people took last year on a betting vehicle that we always could count on to be a winner? And we all took it on the chin last year. What has been the biggest cause of your ratcheted back NFL draft bets? Is it that? Is it the fact that the way that March Madness was a week later, obviously the Masters comes right after that, and that our length of time talking about the NFL draft has also shrunk this year by a week? Or is it just the fact that the way it's falling, that you know number one, you have no idea really, specifically after two, maybe you think you know two, maybe you don't, but that specifically after number two, that we have no idea, real idea what's going to happen, that there's always the possibility of trades, and that it only becomes clearer in spots afterwards. Which of those three things do you think is the biggest reason for your ratchet?
The latter.
That one.
Yeah. I think so too. I think the lack of time that other sports, you know, the longer run out of the NCAA tournament, I think that's done is affect media coverage of it. But I think each draft is its own in different ways, right? And that's going to naturally make some easier to bet than others when you feel like you have more locked in and there's less movement at the top. I think this one has been a little bit tricky from that standpoint, where there's a lot of question marks still in that top 10, and that affect a lot of things after it. And then it's the sports books too, right? I mean, it is the sports books. We've been talking about that for years.
That's the fourth one.
It's less options that are getting posted later in time. Not willing as to, you know, to take as big a bets as
not
usual.
That's the biggest one for me is that. The shops that used to take big bets just aren't anymore.
Yeah, I was talking to Luke a little bit yesterday about the NBA. Did you want to hit on anything for the NBA draft? And it's because this NBA draft class is supposed to be one of the worst that we've ever seen.
NBA executives called the worst ever.
So if that's the case, how much demand is there going to be from, you know, the casual bettor to actually bet the NBA draft? Probably that much, not that much, which gives the books even more excuse to not post that much. So I think that one's going to be really fascinating to see how it's handled.
I think you made the point that you don't have to own this if you don't want, but I believe it was you. I want to give you credit, which is the books are all because of the shrunk time also. That it feels like the books are getting away with a little more this year, like the limits. We're talking about Nevada. Other places, I don't know what's
going on. Right. Yeah, I don't know what's going on.
But in Nevada, shops that used to take really big bets now will limit you to a nickel. some of these places that are taking nickels say that they will open it next week, but others are not saying that. So there's that. And then it is six different places here in Nevada that are offering that are offering actual NFL draft props. But again, some of them just showed up a couple days ago.
Yeah, and I guess I can't answer for the books. You would think they'd be able to handle the schedule, but like maybe they just didn't feel the need with the NCAA tournament going so far and then Masters right after that they didn't feel the need to get stuff up as quick.
You know how they feel. Some people say it's justifiable because they're like, look, they know that it's possible they're going to take a loss. Other businesses in the world have something called a loss leader, where they're willing to take a loss on something to promote the larger goal, right?
Right.
Not so much with sportsbooks.
As much with sportsbooks.
Let's run through these real quick, though, and get our quick thoughts on, because you can bet each and every one of these numbered draft positions, one obviously being Caleb Williams, two, obviously Jaden Daniels is a big favorite at number two.
Yeah, I started with number three because I thought we had a little bit more figured out number two. Before we started hearing about all these quarterbacks showing up in camp or to work out.
Again, if you missed it, the Washington taco holders, they had every one of the prospective first round quarterback draft picks with the exception of Bo Nix and Caleb Williams, who's obviously going to go number one. So they had Penix, McCarthy, Daniels, and May all together yesterday.
Yeah.
Which I have no idea why they would do that, but they ended up doing it that way. So I don't know if Adam Peters knows exactly who he's going to draft or not, or I don't know if there was something that could have happened at that event that would have dissuaded him from whoever he has in mind, but there you go.
That number does keep moving Daniels way, though. Number two now is Daniels minus 350.
It feels like Daniels.
I think it is.
Number three, Drake May is your favorite at minus 145. J.J. McCarthy plus 205. Jaden Daniels plus 260. A lot of people love Drake May the best of
that's
the bunch.
That's interesting.
That's a lot tighter than I thought.
Yeah. When did McCarthy jump Daniels in this, too?
Well, he jumped it when Jaden Daniels kept drifting the other way and for number two, probably, right?
Okay. Probably.
These are just based on what you hear. Number four might be even more interesting, that Marvin Harrison Jr. is only minus 175 to go fourth to the Cardinals. By the way, it doesn't have to be the Cardinals. Let me be specific. To go fourth.
I have him to the Cardinals at this price, but that was my first bet.
So, again, if there's a trade out, the assumption, you know what they say about assuming, the assumption is that it would be for a quarterback. But as C.J. Stroud, Marvin Harrison's former teammate, came out and said this week, he said, if you've got Marvin Harrison available to you, his quote was, don't be dumb.
Yeah, exactly.
Just draft him. J.J. McCarthy's plus 175 to go fourth.
It's all the trade stuff. Let's throw out the trade scenarios for now. If you knew a trade wasn't happening, Marvin Harrison Jr. at minus 175, I think is a steal. The problem is you've got picks 3, 4, 5.
Yep.
At least those three that there's major trade question marks.
Let's see 5. What does 5 have in store for us?
Number five,
which right now is the Chargers pick. Malik Nabers is plus 220. Harrison Jr. is plus 275, as is J.J. McCarthy. And my guy, Joe Alt.
Yeah, you
is plus 475.
So you have Alt.
I have Alt.
You have Alt. I have Neighbors in this market. And around similar numbers, right, for both of us?
I'm plus 450.
Yeah. I'm plus 220 or something like that. Yeah. So around those same numbers, but the one thing that could burn you or you and me, a trade.
Yep. 6. I'm just curious.
Yeah, that is Neighbors now favored plus 145. Your boy Adunze.
I have Adunze. At a better number than this. Adunze's plus 250. I have him plus 325. Remember, that was Felica's intel. He thinks the Giants really like Adunze. J.J. McCarthy's 5-1 here.
Yeah, this is going to stink when Neighbors drops them.
The Titans, who currently inhabit the 7th position, Joe Alt's going to be the big favorite here, right?
Yeah, Joe Alt is minus 175 to be the 7th overall.
All right, not as big of a favorite as I thought, but still a favorite.
Adunze and Neighbors right behind him. Yeah. And then Dallas Turner, number 8, is plus 180 right now.
You can still get him at plus 180?
Yeah.
Wow. Vegas refund. His specific NFL draft bets coming up. Crackman is next. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.